Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that was read for us a little earlier, Psalm 32. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 462. Psalm 32 on page 462. We began studying this psalm last Sunday. We looked at the first five verses, and so this morning, God willing, we will look at the remaining verses from 6 to 11. Let me ask you to imagine a situation that you've probably seen or heard of. Imagine that there's a young family with children, and because of rising costs of living and all the pressures of life, they're struggling to make ends meet. Sadly, a situation that many families in our country know today. And so they find it difficult to get adequate clothing and better food and so on. All the struggles of life. And then one day, a leaflet comes through the letterbox. And it says, the BBC are coming to your town for the Antiques Roadshow. I'm sure you know this program, the Antiques Roadshow. And so if you have anything in your house that you think might be of value, bring it along and we'll have a look at it. And the wife says to the husband, that painting that your great-grandfather brought back from Holland when he was serving in the army, why don't we take it along? So they take this painting along. It's been lying in the attic for decades. They haven't even looked at it very much. And they bring it down and they take it along. You can see where I'm going with this, can't you? And the expert looks at it and he says, this is an original Rembrandt and it's worth millions. So here they were struggling to make ends meet, and yet they had this treasure in their house which they'd never recognized, they'd never known about it. Why do I say that? I say that because I think that is true of many Christians in our country today. This psalm is speaking about the blessings of God. And it actually categorizes, it enlists for us the various blessings that God has given to us in Christ. It's not the only passage in the Bible that does this. There are various psalms. One of my favorite psalms is 103, and that psalm also does this. It actually lists the blessings that God has given us. And in the New Testament, you read the Apostle Paul saying that we are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because he has blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He has blessed us. Not he is going to bless us. He has blessed us. Not with some blessings, but with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So you see, we have this massive store of blessing that God in Christ has given to us. And yet so often, we are like Elisha's servant, aren't we? We actually look at the army, we look at the forces against us, we look at our circumstances, and we get so taken up with our circumstances, we become so focused on our circumstances, we don't actually look at the blessings that God has given us. Do you know that's a good prayer? Lord, open the eyes of your servant that he may see the resources of heaven that are there for us. We ought to pray this, you know. When you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling depressed, pray this. Lord, will you show me the blessings that you brought for me, the blessings that you have for me, and how you have blessed me so greatly in Christ. So this psalm, as I say, lists for us the blessings that God has for us. David had fallen into sin. I think this was written after his sin with Bathsheba. This is a sin that you read about in the book of 2 Samuel. And he fell into a dreadful sin. And then for many months, he kept quiet about it. The Bible tells us that. And finally, God sent his prophet Nathan to David, and Nathan spoke to David, and God granted David repentance. God softened his heart, and God granted him that he should turn to him for forgiveness. And he wrote Psalm 51. And when he wrote Psalm 51, that was his psalm of repentance. He was asking God for forgiveness. And part of that psalm, he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And God answered his prayer. And God granted him the joy of his salvation. And so he wrote after Psalm 51, I think he wrote Psalm 32. It certainly fits the historic fact. And you notice how he begins this psalm. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then he says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of the summer." He says, "I kept quiet. I would not acknowledge my sin. I would not confess my sin. And your hand was heavy upon me, and my bones wasted away." Friends, always keep short accounts with God. You fall into sin, go to God and repent of your sin and ask him to forgive you. Don't keep quiet. Don't hide it. You can't hide it from God. You can hide nothing from God. God knows you have sinned. So why try and hide it? Go to God straight away. Repent of your sin. Ask him to forgive you and ask him to restore to you the joy of your salvation. Now, last week when we looked at verses 1 to 5, we saw that there he mentions the first great blessing of salvation, the forgiveness of sin. Blessed is he, the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. He's come into this wonderful relief, the joy of sins forgiven. And it is a tremendous joy when we experience the sin, the forgiveness of our sins, the conscience cleansed with the blood of Jesus, a clear conscience. Your sins may come back to you. The devil may come and remind you of your sins, but you can say to him, "Yes, I've done what you say. I've done more than what you say, but Jesus has forgiven me. My sins are gone. They've been hurled into the depths of the ocean. My conscience has been cleansed. My penalty has been paid. My Savior has taken upon him the wrath of God, and I owe nothing because Christ has died for me." So the first blessing that we saw last week, the forgiveness of sin. This morning we're looking at verses 6 to 11, and there are four blessings here. And we're going to work our way through those four more blessings in this psalm. And the first is this, that God is our hiding place. God is our hiding place. He says in verse 6, "Therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are the hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble." So he says to the Lord, he says, not only do I know the forgiveness of my sins. Now that's a tremendous blessing, because as we saw last week, the forgiveness of sins opens the floodgates, and all the blessings that God has for us can now be released because our sins have been forgiven. We're now in a relationship with God. So it's tremendous to have forgiveness of sins. But he says, in addition to this, you are my hiding place. You are my refuge when I'm under temptation, when I'm under sin, when I'm under attack of any kind. I can rush to the castle. It's not some plastic shed that you build for me, as people do in the back of their garden. It's not some flimsy structure that you have for me. There is this castle. There is this fortress. God is my hiding place. Do you know, friends, this is one of the great, great blessings we have as a Christian. God is our refuge. That's what he says, doesn't he, later in the Psalms. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Do you have times when you feel discouraged? Do you have times when all kinds of circumstances in your life come to you and you just feel so low and you feel discouraged? Well, go to God. Go to God and say to him, hide me because I'm feeling so discouraged. Do you have times when the devil reminds you of your sins and seeks to condemn you? You shouldn't let him condemn you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Run to the Savior and seek refuge in him. Do you have times when you feel weak? You just feel physically weak. You just feel so unable to do anything. And you are therefore, you have a tendency to become so disillusioned. Run to the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord. And he is God. He has all power. He has all strength. You need help. You need encouragement. You need support. God is your God. The Father is your Father. Christ is your Savior. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. The triune God is your God. And he is your hiding place. And he is your support and your encouragement. Do not give in to discouragement, but run to the Lord as your hiding place. We often give in, don't we? And we allow ourselves to become discouraged. And then we speak to others and we discourage others. Well, don't do that. But go to God and ask him to cover you and to give you a hiding place. So that's the first thing that we see in this second half of the psalm. God is our hiding place. But then secondly, a second blessing, God is our Redeemer. Notice what he says in the second part of verse 7. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. It's a very interesting phrase. I've been looking at this phrase this week and I thought, he isn't just talking about deliverance. He isn't saying here, I mean, I know I've worded it that God is our deliverer, but I want to expand this a little further. But David doesn't actually say, you are my deliverer. David says more than that. David says, you surround me with shouts of deliverance. What does this mean? I think he's talking about the joy of redemption. This shouts of deliverance, it's a word that could mean songs of deliverance. It's once or twice used in the Old Testament, not the common word for songs, but it is used once or twice in the New Testament as songs of deliverance. And he's saying, this is what happens to us when we become Christians. We are delivered from slavery to sin. We are delivered from the kingdom of Satan, and our hearts sing with joy. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt and their lives were terrible. They cried out to God for deliverance and God raised up Moses and God empowered Moses and strengthened Moses and used Moses and Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea, and God dried up the Red Sea, and they walked across dry ground onto the other side. Do you remember what is the first thing that the children of Israel did once they had reached the opposite bank? Does anybody know what is the first thing that they did? They actually sang. Exodus chapter 15, they sang. And Exodus chapter 15 is the song of deliverance that they sang. Because there was rejoicing. Of course there was rejoicing. There they were in Egypt, enslaved by Pharaoh and put to slave labor. And a death sentence was upon the nation because Pharaoh had said, every male child that is born to the Hebrews will be cast into the river. So that this was going to be the last generation. There isn't going to be a next generation if every male child is going to be killed. And they're saved from this. They're brought out of this, from this cruelty, this terror. They're brought out of this across the Red Sea onto dry land. And of course, there's relief and there's joy. Do you know the greatest tragedy in the Bible is that very soon they forgot the joy of deliverance. That was the last time the children of Israel sang after their deliverance. Very sadly, the rest of the time they murmured, they complained, and they grumbled. Read your Bible, read the book of Exodus, read the book of Numbers, where the wilderness journeys are described. You don't read songs. You don't read songs of deliverance in Exodus. You don't read songs of deliverance in the book of Numbers. You do read about murmuring and grumbling and complaining. Because you see, they lost sight of this. In fact, they forgot how terrible their lives were in Egypt. And they say to Moses, oh, when we were in Egypt, we used to eat fish, we used to eat cucumbers, we used to eat garlic, we used to eat onions. We had wonderful lives. Their lives were terrible. But they forgot this. And this is why it's so important for us to always go back to our salvation. Always go back to the time when God redeemed you out of slavery to sin. Go back to the time when the Holy Spirit of God was at work in you and you saw your sin and you saw your terrible spiritual condition. You came to Christ. The Spirit brought you to Christ and you saw the glory of Christ and the beauty of Christ and the all-sufficiency of Christ. You saw the cross, and for the first time in your life, you understood the cross, and you realized that on that cross, Jesus took my sin, and on that cross, Jesus paid my penalty, and on that cross, Jesus removed my debt, and on that cross, Jesus took upon himself the anger of God that was due from me, and on that cross, Jesus shed his blood that I might be redeemed, forgiven, and bound for heaven. Go back to it. And sing songs of redemption. He says here, you surround me with shouts of deliverance, songs of redemption. Sing the songs that we've just sung this morning. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Go back to that. And remember how God in Christ has forgiven you your sin. You feel depressed, you feel discouraged. Go back over your life and remember how things were with you before you became a Christian. For some of you, it was many decades ago, but you can remember. You can remember how terrible life was. And then God in Christ had mercy upon you. And God in Christ saved you. And that conscience that had troubled you was gone. And this view that you had, well, I don't know what's going to happen after I die. I don't know if there's life after death. I know nothing of this. All that's gone. You have heaven in your heart. God has opened up heaven for you. God has prepared a place for you in heaven and is preparing you for that place. You know you're going to heaven. Your heart tells you this, Christ is my Savior and heaven is my home. What a wonderful thing that is. Why then do we become discouraged? And why do we complain and grumble and murmur? No. No, we have blessings from God. God has delivered us, and we need to sing the songs of redemption. Make sure you have a hymn book in your house, and make sure you open it every day and sing a song to yourself, to the Lord, to remind you of your salvation. So in the second half of the psalm, the first blessing, God is our hiding place. God is our Redeemer. A third blessing, God is our guide. In verse 8, God is speaking to David. It's a reminder that worship is a two-way thing. When we worship, we bring our thanks to God, we bring our praises to God, we bring our prayers to God, and in worship, God speaks to us. And in this psalm, as David is speaking to God, God speaks to David. And verse 8 is God speaking to David and God making promises to David. And God says to David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So God makes this promise to David. And God says to David, well, you fell into great sin, but you repented. I've forgiven you your sin. And I'm going to give you greater promises now, David. I will be your guide. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We do not go through the Christian life on our own. We do not go through the Christian life blindly. We go through the Christian life with the Word of God. We go through the Christian life with the Holy Spirit of God living in us. We go through the Christian life in the fellowship of God's people. And God uses His Word. And God speaks to us by His Spirit. And God encourages us and speaks to us in the fellowship of His people. Have you ever had those times when you feel discouraged? You go and visit somebody. And as you sit and you chat and they share a testimony and they talk about the blessings of God, you feel encouraged because God has brought you encouragement from His Word, from the testimony of a fellow believer. We're not just making our way in this life blindly groping and hoping we're doing right. God's Word is a light and a lamp, and it is there to guide us through all our ways. How often I say it from the pulpit, friends, read this book. Read all of it. I know we all love the Psalms and we read the Psalms, and the Psalms are wonderful, but there are 65 other books in this Bible. Please read them. Because God will guide you and God will instruct you and God will reveal Himself to you. And you will see the glory of Christ as you read the Bible. You will see the beauty of Christ. You will understand His will. You will grow in your understanding of His will. And you will know His ways, what pleases God. So we've looked at three of those blessings in the second part of this psalm. God is our hiding place. God is our Redeemer. God is our guide. And then fourthly and finally, God's steadfast love surrounds us. This is verse 10, the second part. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. It's worth remembering that, isn't it? Remember the time before you were a Christian. Many are the sorrows of those who are unsaved. But steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. This is the greatest of all of God's blessings. I sometimes hesitate in putting this list in order. Should we have an order? I don't know if we should. But I do know that when the Apostle Paul wrote about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he mentions love as the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and so on. Because once we are saved, once we come into God's kingdom, once our sins are forgiven, we are the beloved people of God. God loves us. And God's love is a gracious love, which means it doesn't depend upon our works. Now, I'm not giving you license to sin. I'm not giving you license to live a careless life. Because God's love is the greatest inspiration to holiness and faithfulness. This is how the kingdom of God works. It is about love. We experience the love of God. The Holy Spirit of God floods our hearts with the love of Christ, Romans 5:5. And our hearts are filled with the love of Christ. And we respond in holiness, in faithfulness, and in service. We go to God and we say, your love is so wonderful, I cannot hold myself back. I must give myself to you. I must serve you. I must use my gifts for you. Why should I keep myself back from you? You have loved me with such great love. You know, friends, this is the great mark of the Christian. A Christian is a person loved of God. Steadfast love, gracious love, eternal love, given freely by Christ through His Spirit to His people. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, because God delights in us and God loves us and God is compassionate and gracious and merciful to us because our sins have been forgiven in Christ. We are a blessed people. I wonder if you are a Christian here this morning. Do these words that I've been speaking, do they have a meaning, or do you just sit there and you think, I don't know what you're talking about. Can I say this to you if you are not a Christian here this morning? You are a stranger to the greatest blessings anyone in the universe can know. You have no concept of the forgiveness of sin, the love of God, the guiding hand of God, God as your refuge and your strength. Why not today turn from your sin as David did? He says in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you. Why not today come to Christ and say to him, I am a sinner and I need salvation? Why not today ask him to save you, forgive you, and bring you into God's kingdom and unleash all these blessings that are described in this passage and in so many other passages in the Bible? Why not today come to Christ and be saved? But if you are a Christian here this morning, you love Christ, you've been washed in the blood of Christ, I say to you, you're a blessed person. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Think much about your blessings. Meditate on your blessings. And they will guide you and keep you through your Christian life.